think here, in this room, everybody can hear. Only the problem was in that room. So, anyway, so now... It's very nice that we all are here together. And there's so many things I want to say, but I'm wondering where to begin. Maybe one good way to start will be about starting with the point that I was discussing yesterday in the volunteer meeting, volunteer Thanksgiving. How many of you were there last night? How many of you were not there last night? So, it was a wonderful evening, and about 500-600 volunteers came, and it was the occasion to thank them for their wonderful involvement during the Ashtami and many other festivals that you are organized in the Bhaktivedanta Vana. And I was telling them how pleased Srila Prabhupada would be to see and how wonderfully they have become involved. And I recalled once Srila Prabhupada was lamenting that everyone is coming but the Indians. That was in 1977. He was lamenting, he was feeling bad that the Indians were not coming. Those days, the participation was mostly from the Americans. They are the ones who helped spread this movement. And then Prabhupada mentioned that I am one Indian. I spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. If all the Indians take up the responsibility of spreading Krishna consciousness, then what will happen to the world will come to the end. And I was thinking how pleased Srila Prabhupada would be to see so many Indians today are coming forward to help spread his mission throughout the world. But then one apprehension also appeared to my mind, that Prabhupada, how Prabhupada would feel if Prabhupada was present last night. I knew Prabhupada would question. We are in London, we are in England, but how come there is no English? Because the tent was packed with all Indian volunteers. What's happening with the European, the English volunteers, British volunteers? Why not? And Prabhupada actually created an international society for Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada himself, he left India, went to America to spread Krishna consciousness. So, from that you can understand that Prabhupada's spirit was international. Prabhupada wanted everybody must come. Like Indians come, participate, support. It is understandable. There is not much credit to attract Indians. But Prabhupada wanted to attract people from all over the world. Then only there lies the success of Krishna consciousness movement. So I made one proposal. I made an appeal to the volunteers last night. Who remembers that appeal? Yes. Okay, Vijay?
Everybody, all Indian people in Indian bodies to try and bring one English person into the world.
In one month. That means next Janmashtami,
every volunteer, everyone who participated this year in Janmashtami must cultivate one person, one Englishman, and make him a volunteer.
And let him involve him in such a way that he will also become involved in the organizing Janmashtami.
Now, how many of you think it was a good idea? And how many of you are going to respond to my appeal? I thought more hands went up in support of the proposal, but
when it came to active participation, then
anyway, I presume you understand the spirit of this proposal.
It is important.
Because what is our objective? What is our real objective? Is our objective is to cultivate Krishna, practice Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead? Is that what we want? Do we want that? How many of you think that our goal is to just practice Krishna consciousness and then go back to Godhead?
Okay. Wonderful response.
And see, I feel really happy about it. I feel really about the message. And how many of you think that our objective is to let everybody go back to God? Okay. So if you want that everybody else should go back to God, then what do you think we should do? Just practice it ourselves? Or do you want only the Indians should go back to Godhead? The rest of the world should stay here. Naturally not. Devotee is very compassionate. He wants that everybody else should go back to Godhead. Do you remember Vasudev Datta's prayer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Vasudev Datta, in a very wonderful mood of compassion, he appealed to Sri Chaitanya that please give me all the sin of all the people and let everybody else. I'm prepared to, because of the sinful reactions people suffer in the material age. So Vasudev Datta was prepared to take all the sins of all the people so that they can go back to God. He said, I suffer in hell for millions of lifetimes. Let me suffer for their sins eternally, but let them go back to God. So that is the mood of a real devotee of Sri Chaitanya. And then what did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, for Krishna to deliver one universe is nothing. Because one universe to Krishna is like a grain of mustard seed in a bag of mustard. So what is this to Krishna, to deliver one? And because you desire, this universe will be delivered. In this way we see the compassion of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya. Those who are already close to Krishna consciousness, those who are in Krishna consciousness, yes, we must cultivate them, we must help them naturally. But we should not be content with just them, those who are already Krishna conscious or those who are very, very receptive to Krishna consciousness. We actually need to cultivate those who are far away from Krishna consciousness. Further away they are, greater an achievement it is to be. You know, in this respect, the story of the prodigal son. This is a very beautiful parable in the Bible. I think it was Matthew was a tax collector. And those days, a tax collector was
a very, very dirty occupation. Tax collector's occupation, a very dirty occupation. Because, you know, he collects tax, you know, he, and people hate him. But Jesus bestowed his special mercy on that. And he actually went to his house, he ate at his place, and everybody was very disturbed. Now why Jesus? Then Jesus told them the story of the prodigal son, when they questioned. He said, look, the prodigal son, this one son, left the father and went. So, and then when he returned, the father was very pleased and he gave him very special treatment, treated him with extreme love and care. So then his other sons, they complained to him. Complained to the father. He said, we have been with you all this while and we have served you so nicely. You don't treat us so well. And he left you and then when he comes back, he treats you so nicely. So he said that, isn't it wonderful that he left and then he came back? Isn't it a very special thing? That although he left, now that he came back, isn't it a very special occasion? In this way he made his other son understand that it's very special that when a distant, the one who rejected, he said, he actually told them that you are already with me and I'm already taking care of you and you're responding to my care. So, but he is the one who left and that's why it's so special. So with Krishna also, those who are far away, when we bring them to Krishna, Krishna becomes extremely pleased. And this Krishna consciousness is for everybody. It's for everybody. We must remember when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago, in India, there was a major conflict between the Hindus and Muslims. Very big conflict because the Muslims were dominating the country and there was a major conflict naturally between them. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, he unified the Hindus and Muslims. And isn't it very wonderful that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to distribute the holy name, he made Haridas Thakur, a Muslim, the Namachari. He made the Acharya, Haridas Thakur the Acharya, who is actually Muslim. Now what does it signify? Does it signify that Krishna consciousness movement, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give it only for the Hindus? No, he made a special indication that it is for everybody. And it doesn't have any consideration for caste and creed and nationality and so-called religion. Prabhupada once mentioned that when one Muslim becomes a devotee, I feel it is greater achievement than making 100 devotees. Because they're so far, they're generally so distant, so far away. So it is an achievement when the Muslims and Christians and Jews become devotees. I remember one incident in Bombay. In 1977, Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay and there was this festival. A big program was arranged for Srila Prabhupada, Cross Maidan. Cross Maidan is in the center of the city. And it is a big Maidan, big. Maidan ka English kya hota hai?
Field.
Not park actually, it's field. And so there was a huge pandal was made and every day about more than 5,000-6,000 people were coming here to listen to Srila Prabhupada. And one evening, Srila Prabhupada spotted one Arab gentleman in the crowd. That person was actually standing at the end of the thing, you know, like generally people were sitting and at the end, people were standing. And Prabhupada spotted that person, that he was standing there. And Prabhupada sent one of his sannyasi disciples to call him and bring him to the stage. And so that poor gentleman was brought in. You know, he was dressed in a typical Arab way, you know, like that white thing and the ring on his head. And then Prabhupada made him sit next to him on the stage. Like Prabhupada was sitting on a vasasana at the center of the stage, and his vasasana was flanked by chairs where dignitaries and men for dignitaries and sannyasis were sitting there. So this person, Prabhupada asked him to sit next to him on the right hand side. And I was standing Srila Prabhupada, so I could hear what was going on. So Prabhupada was asking this gentleman who he was, and it turned out that he was the chief of police from Kuwait. And he came to Bombay for a trip, medical trip. And that was the first day when he was allowed to go out of the hospital. And just to go, I think he had an operation. And he came out of the hospital and he came to the park. And he was just walking. And then he saw this pandal in the crowd. So out of curiosity, he just came. And he saw, and then, you know, that he was standing there, and the Prabhupada was called. And it was such a wonderful sight, you know, like, can you imagine? Like, here is a big spiritual leader, of international fame, and from Hindu background, and next to him, there's a Muslim gentleman dressed in typical Arab attire. So that was Srila Prabhupada's spirit. And Prabhupada was preaching to him all the way. You know, he had some beads in his hand. Prabhupada noticed it. So Prabhupada asked him, what is that? And what he was doing with that. And he said that I just fiddle around. So Prabhupada said, no, it is actually meant to chant the name of the Lord and keep calm with that. And then Prabhupada pulled out his beads. He said, see, I also have one. And Prabhupada explained to him, you know, how, you know, it is actually meant to chant the name of the Lord and keep calm. And then Prabhupada also mentioned that, you know, this is sacred, therefore it should be kept in a bag. So that, you know, it doesn't touch anybody. So this is the compassion of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada wanted to give this Krishna consciousness to everyone. More distant one is, more exciting it is. More exciting an achievement it is. Therefore, please indoctrinate yourselves with the spirit of Srila Prabhupada. And go out of your way to preach. When Srila Prabhupada went to America, did Srila Prabhupada expect that everyone should come running to him? No. Srila Prabhupada was trying everywhere. Prabhupada actually, when he went to, he was in Butler, Pennsylvania. He was having a nice time there. He was living in the family of Agarwal. And his wife Sally became very fond of Srila Prabhupada. And the people started to also get very much attracted to Srila Prabhupada. It was a very exciting phenomenon for them. Because in a small town like Butler, Pennsylvania, to see an Indian sadhu was the most far out sadhu at that time. And the people were actually appreciating him there. But Prabhupada didn't want to just stay in Butler. Prabhupada wanted to go to New York, where things are really happening and going to happen. So Srila Prabhupada left Butler, Srila Prabhupada went to New York. And New York, Srila Prabhupada started to preach. First he started to preach in the uptown New York, where more sort of well-to-do Americans were. But he saw that the response was not there. Then Prabhupada started to move from uptown New York to downtown New York. Then finally he came to Bali, the place which is the most degraded area of New York City. you get hippies and bums and vagabonds. And Prabhupada stayed there and he started to preach there. And who responded to Srila Prabhupada's calls? The hippies. Now can you imagine the contrast? Like how where Srila Prabhupada is and where these people are. Srila Prabhupada is a very respectable, elderly Indian gentleman. Now he's a spiritualist. He's been living in Vrindavan for so many years. Now he left that, came to America, and who are these people who are responding to, who are coming to Srila Prabhupada at that time? Or I once said, coming to, who Srila Prabhupada started to preach at first? These young American boys and girls who did not have any consideration for morality, who thought that sex and drugs is the ultimate perfection of life. The ultimate perfection of life will be achieved through sex. And to this kind of people, this kind of young boy and girl, Srila Prabhupada is preaching. And they responded to Srila Prabhupada's call because the way Srila Prabhupada treated them. Prabhupada didn't treat them as dirty hippies. I tell you, even in America those days, you know, the hippies, people used to go for sightseeing to see the hippies. Like where the hippies used to go, people used to go and just watch them. Because it was such a weird sight. Now Srila Prabhupada actually started to preach to them. And Srila Prabhupada didn't treat them as hippies or whatever. American or dirty or clean. To Srila Prabhupada, these are the people who need Krishna consciousness. And then Srila Prabhupada started to treat, how Srila Prabhupada treated them? He treated them with the highest respect. He personally used to cook for them, serve them. And then when they became attracted to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada opened the door. Okay, come in. And in this way, the Krishna consciousness movement actually started in 1956 in New York City. Then Srila Prabhupada went to San Francisco. That was the paradise for the hippies, the Golden Gate, where all the hippies used to hang out. The Haight Ashbury area. And Srila Prabhupada made his center right there in Haight Ashbury. So this is how Krishna consciousness movement starts. Now if we are the followers of Srila Prabhupada, what should we do? Should we just be happy with our own Krishna consciousness? Or should we want to distribute it to others? Now it's fine, like we are preaching to at least whoever we can, those who are responding, we're preaching to them. But it is high time that we go out and give it to those who need it the most. That means those who do not really have it, we must give it. We are in England. So who is our real man? Who are our natural customers? Did we come to England to preach to the Indians? Actually, that shows that we have become complacent. We are not accepting the challenge. Those who are coming, we are just giving it to them. Right? But we are not going out of our way to give it to those who also need it the most. Now, here I thought that I will once again appeal to you all. Please take up this response. Start off with just one. Make at least one person. And you are in England, right in the middle of London. And you are surrounded by all British people. So just to get one British people to accept Krishna consciousness, is it a very difficult job? Will it be a difficult job? How many of you think that it won't be a difficult job? Please raise your hand. Anyway, so those who don't think it's a difficult job, show it to others that it is not a difficult job. And then make them also get fired up. Did you raise your hand?
No.
No? Why not? Yeah. Anyway, please consider this for the sake of Srila Prabhupada, for the sake of pleasing Srila Prabhupada. And we have to consider, you know, like it may not be easy, but it will be interesting. And I tell you, Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian thing. Krishna consciousness is Krishna consciousness is universal. It's meant for everybody. It's meant for everyone. Everyone needs it. And everyone, actually at the heart, bottom of his heart, unconsciously or consciously, everyone wants it. Can you imagine by giving Krishna consciousness we can actually solve all the problems? How many of you think that your problems have been solved by accepting? How many of you think that by receiving Krishna consciousness, everybody's problems can be solved? And how many of you think that it is important that we solve everyone's problems? So, what are you going to do?
Give Krishna consciousness.
Just before coming here, I was invited to speak to the Krishna Club children. They are celebrating Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. And I narrated one incident to them, how Srila Prabhupada wanted everyone to preach, even a child to preach. And I narrated the story, Shamsundar Prabhu's daughter was Malati. I'm sorry, Sarasati. Shamsundar and Malati Mataji. She was only about 5-6 years old at that time. And Shamsundar Prabhu was Prabhupada's secretary, so he was traveling with his family. So one day Srila Prabhupada, some minister came to meet Srila. And while the minister was waiting for Srila Prabhupada, Saraswati was talking to the minister. So Saraswati at one point asked the minister, "Do you know Krishna?" The minister replied, "No, I don't know Krishna." That's not joking. "I don't know Krishna." Saraswati said, "Oh, you don't know Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And when Prabhupada heard that, he was very pleased. They were saying, in Krishna consciousness, even a child can preach to a minister. You don't know Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So simple understanding, but the world is bereft of it. So isn't it important that we go out and give it to them? Do you know Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality. At least can't we make them understand this much? So I know you all have many, many responsibilities, you're very busy, you have to take care of so many things, you don't have enough time. But please, make your time, just a little time, to go out to preach. It's very important. Because Prabhupada actually created this Krishna consciousness for preaching Krishna consciousness. In one hand, we are preaching Krishna consciousness. Then when people respond to our preaching, then what do? We invite them to come. And then their Krishna consciousness is protected by the institution of this company. So that's why this ISKCON movement is a very, very important movement for us. Can you imagine how critical the situation has become of this world? How critical is the situation of this world today? I'm sure you can at least consider, at least imagine, like any day, some massive, massive destruction can take place. You see, one atom bomb wiped out one city, or two atom bombs wiped out two cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That was how many? 48 years, 58 years. And now compared to the bombs that they have today, the bombs that were dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki were like torches. They're like firecrackers compared to what they have today. Now if some crazy guy presses some button, and probably one city will be wiped out in time. So this is how precarious the condition of this world. Now what can actually save this world from an imminent disaster? We have to understand what is the root of this problem. What is the root of all the problems of this world today? Anybody? Nimai? Was the root of all the problems of this world?
Ignorance.
I asked him.
Sorry.
Everyone's
envy.
Envy of?
Everyone's envious.
Everyone is envious of each other. But what's the root of that?
Ignorance.
Ignorance of?
Ignorance of God.
Right. Ignorance of Krishna. So when someone is ignorant, what should he do? So the problems are caused by ignorance of Krishna. Now if we want to solve the problem, what do we have to do? We have to give them the awareness of Krishna. Right? Now how do you give them the awareness? By preaching. And by preaching we enlighten. We give them the knowledge. Now will they get the knowledge if you don't go out and preach? If the devotee just sit in the temple, what will happen to this? Anyway, okay, now let's consider. When people get to know Krishna, then what will happen? They'll surrender to Krishna, recognizing that he is the Supreme Personality. And if everybody recognizes that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the Supreme Father, the dearmost friend, then will they remain envious to each other? No, why not? Because they'll recognize with Krishna as the Father, they all are brothers and sisters. So do the brothers and sisters fight when they're properly related to the Father? No. So that is the solution to the problem. Now how do we implement this solution? By educating. And that is why it is so important. And one of the best way to educate them is by giving them Srila Prabhupada's books. And not only just give Srila Prabhupada's books, but we make them read the book and understand. Therefore, I will say, just giving the books is not enough. When you give somebody a book, you take his name and address and telephone him. Right? And then after a few days, phone him and ask him, hey, did you read this book that I gave you? And if you didn't, you ask him, hey, please read it and tell me how you liked it. I'll call you again after 3 days. Right? So, and this is the way to take care of those people. This is how we have to cultivate them and help them in the spiritual life. Now, what is the best way to preach? Now let's get into that. What is the best way to preach? Well, one thing I said, one of the best ways to preach is by giving them Srila Prabhupada's books. Why the books are so important? Because we may not be so expert to explain everything. But if you give them the book and if they read the book, then Prabhupada is the expert who explained it the most. So by reading the books, they'll benefit. They'll hear Prabhupada by reading. Another thing is, when we speak to people, half their attention may be somewhere else, and on that, maybe a fraction of their attention may be in hearing. Isn't it? And then, after hearing, 5 minutes after hearing, they're going to forget. Right? That's why just direct preaching may not be that effective. But that preaching can be substantiated by giving. But when they read the book, then what happens? When you are reading a book, 100% of your attention is there. Isn't it? That's the advantage of it. If you can get them into reading, then they'll be completely focused. And when they read Srila Prabhupada's books, then they'll immediately get the clear understanding. How many of you came to Krishna consciousness by reading Srila Prabhupada? So, and how many of you think that your spiritual life has been nurtured by reading Srila Prabhupada's books? So that's how important Srila Prabhupada's books are. So Prabhupada's books is the most effective way to preach. But there is another consideration also, another way to preach. Another consideration of preaching. Effective preaching. What is that? By our own example. If we become good devotees, then it's guaranteed that those who will come in contact with you, most of them will become affected by you. Your purity will attract them to Krishna consciousness. Then Prabhupada said, purity is the force. Prabhupada gave a four principle on this respect, in this respect. Books are the basis. Purity is the force. Utility is the principle. And? Preaching is the essence. So preaching is the essence. So isn't it a very wonderful formula that Srila Prabhupada gave? Books are the basis, preaching is the essence, purity is the force, and utility is the essence. So are you going to do that? So preach on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's books. Befriend people, the people that are close to you, who you think are receptive, you give them Srila Prabhupada's books. And then, preach to them. Preach to them means, you see that they are reading the books and understanding the books and accepting the teachings of the books. And then, with your own purity, you show him what happens when one takes the Krishna consciousness. Purity. And then utility is the principle. What whatever is necessary, do it. For the sake of preaching, if you have to make some nice prasad and take it to them, do that. If you think that you should bring them to your house and have nice programs, have the programs. If you feel that in order to properly guide them, you have to spend time with them, do that. In this way, make it happen. Okay, in this way, now I'll invite some questions. If anybody has any questions pertaining to this one. Yes, Gaurhari.
You mentioned utility is a principle.
Yes.
Could you explain that a bit more?
Utility is a principle. That is, whatever is necessary, whatever is, the utility is the important consideration. That for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness, whatever is necessary, you have to do. Right? For the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness, if sannyasis have to make movies, let them make movies. So you understand that utility? So, any other questions or comments? Yes.
All right. This thinker just said late decades, internet is quite advanced, and more and more people have access to internet. Would that be a medium where?
It is being utilized.
And could develop further in the sense that it's a backup
operation. Sure, it is. It is being utilized. It is being utilized. Like, ISKCON has few websites. Unfortunately, the website that was started by ISKCON some years ago, Chakra, that has been sabotaged by some individuals. And it's not an ISKCON one. Website anymore. But what to do? So we started other websites. There are many other websites. In one hand, this medium is being used, this medium can be used for spreading Krishna consciousness. But that's the problem with medium. Like, when it is in the wrong hand, they can cause a lot of damage also. Yes, Rami. If the grass is green and the time is short, then cut the grass and it will dry quickly and then you can ignite it very easily. So grass is Maya, right? So therefore, don't wait for their Maya to wither. Like, cut their Maya with giving them knowledge. And how do you cut their Maya? In order to cut their Maya, first of all, you have to know what is Maya. Right? Now tell me, what is Maya? Okay. But, a more clear definition, Maya literally means illusion. Right? What is illusion? Illusion means,